Whether you like this subject today or not, I'm fulfilling my promise, and that was to deal with this issue of socialism, it was said, with the perspective of Christianity, and was Jesus a socialist, and whether socialism is really, really Christianity carried out in the world. Well, the problem is, and the difficult thing for most people have a good motive, a heart to do what's right, to take care of the least of these. That's nice. That's a great motive. Our problem is, what power do you have to act? What you're supposed to do is act according to the power that is given you, and it is not to take power, using the powers of this world as an opportunity to take power. And ultimately, what becomes is a false God, a false Christ, and it's really dysfunctional. But so the other thing I want people to know is these socialist ideas came from this. It wasn't Karl Marx that did it. He basically put it together, and he made some quotes that are famous. And so he's the inspiration, I think, behind what we see as our modern move toward global socialism. And those who call themselves progressives, my guest said, oh, they're not really socialists because they're partnering with the two major parties and stuff. That's they've got a different means, but it's the same ends is what it seems. Is global socialist Marxist society. Now watch this. And it's got kind of a fake Christianity coloring on it, decoration, which makes it a tasty bait for some, which makes it even more destructive. You know, rats go to poison because they're attracted to it. Of course, it kills them. So you got to be careful with this stuff. Let's see what Mr. Marx said. This is a quote from Karl Marx. The social principles of Christianity preach cowardice, self-contempt, abasement, submission, humility, in a word, all the qualities of the canaille. It's probably French. I don't even know what it means. But I'll tell you, taking it on the right cheek after getting it on the left or vice versa is not something. If it's happening to you because you're a coward, that's one thing. But actually deliberately taking it on the other cheek is not an act of cowardice, folks. The vast majority of people, because of their cowardice, wouldn't be willing to do it. Self-contempt, abasement, no. I think it's just, he didn't get it. Marx didn't get it. He said, religion is the impotence of the human mind to deal with occurrences it cannot understand. No, that's not true. That's religious superstition might be the impotence of the human mind to deal with occurrences that it cannot understand. It also could be that religious superstition is the impotence of faith with lack thereof to deal with those things in spite of their misunderstanding. So religion is the duty that we owe the Creator and the manner of discharging it. You see, that's religion. It's belief and action. Religion is the duty we owe the Creator and the manner that we have the act of discharging that duty. Marx was wrong. He's depraved. He didn't understand. He didn't understand the biggest guy, bigger than the universe. He didn't know him, didn't understand him. So he's making it up. The theory of communism, he said, may be summed up in one sentence: abolish all private property. Well, somebody would say, oh, Jesus is socialist because he didn't own anything. Well, that's right. He didn't cling to this world. And he taught us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and then all that other stuff. Guess what? The other stuff includes private property. It includes food. It includes clothing. It includes automobiles, in that matter. It includes the mechanism for transportation and communications. And all these things shall be added as well. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, first and foremost. Oh, by the way, the other stuff is icing. From each according to his ability, Karl Marx said, to each according to his need. Well, now that brings up something. People often say, we were talking about that issue with Jesus, a socialist. They said, well, look at the early church. The first guys, let me go to that. He says, from each according to his ability, to each according to his needs. But the problem is Karl Marx is saying, we're going to use the power of a sword to make that happen. We're going to police that. So what I'm going to do is I want to find this thing where it was in Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. And it was talking about a story where they said that, oh, I'm trying to find that silly thing. Or not silly thing, but I can't find it. I had it. and I don't know where it is. It was Acts chapter 5, so I'm going to have to look it up. And what it was is it talks about this situation, and I'll be able to get it really quickly because I'm going to type it in right here, Acts 5. This situation where right after Jesus ascended, all the guys, they're so excited about what's going on. They've got this new redeemed life. Their life has changed. They're not depraved anymore, and they're having a good time. And so they got together, and they began to spread their stuff around, okay? I'm going to back it up to chapter 4 of Acts. I'm going to read this just because we're going to hear the story. It's a really neat story. It says, a multitude of those believed were of one heart and one soul, weren't they? Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own. But, you know, that was voluntarily. It's not the police state saying nothing you own is yours. But they had all things in common. With great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of Lord Jesus. Great grace was upon them. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked. For all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they were distributed to each as anyone had need. But folks, Karl Marx took this instance of the fruit of a redeemed mankind. See, he's trying to come up with a theory how to deal with depraved people, which he understood men are depraved only because they haven't got all their bread. Otherwise, they'd be perfect. But he's taking this story and he doesn't get it. See, what happened is people voluntarily brought the stuff. If anybody had a need, it was met. That's what happened in Katrina, man. It was awesome. People just brought stuff, and you had a need. You walked up, you know what? Well, in one case, it's like, well, I don't need a Coke, but there was a 12-pack of Coke. And I said, can I have one of these? And it was hot. We'd been working for days, you know. And the guy said, sure. So you know what? I had a Coke because it was there. You know, it was great. And you had clothes that were brought. You had food that was brought. It was, you have a need. And I walked out to a guy, and he says, well, I don't know. I said, well, what do you need? He told me what he needed. He needed an iron, or I don't know what it was. Some needed a coffee pot. It was very specific things that people would walk up kind of embarrassed. Well, what do you need? And things that somebody had just brought, had walked up with, somebody else walks up and had a need. Somebody drives up with roof shingles. The lady says, I didn't have insurance. My roof is destroyed. I've got people that will do it, but we need shingles and paper. I said, how much you need? We did the math. Guess what? We had just been delivered, folks. It was awesome. That was all by faith. FEMA had nothing to do with it. In those circumstances, divine intervention, if you operate in what Jesus taught, it works, but it's not the power of the sword. And I'm going to prove this. See, we were challenged saying Jesus was a socialist. Well, here's the guys acting out the Jesusisms, okay? They're acting it out. This is just as Jesus left, right? They're starting to live it. But watch what happens. This is to show you it wasn't mandatory. It was based on faith, a gift of faith, a gift of love, of truth, not the power of the sword. But a certain man named Ananias with his Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? Now watch this. Watch this. We only have a few minutes. We're going to take a call in a minute. He says, while it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not your own? Why have you conceived this thing? In other words, he lied about how much he had gotten. Instead of saying, hey, I sold something, I used part of it, and here's part of it for you guys. He said, here, I sold something, and here's the value thereof. Guess what? He ended up falling down dead right there. Hey, thank you for calling. But the point is, I've got to tell you here, folks, is that it wasn't a mandate. He could have given a tenth. He could have given 100%. It's his choice. You just don't lie about it. Hey, what happens when you lie to the IRS? Hey, caller, thank you for calling Eagle Freedom 104.3 FM. What's your question or comment?
Hello, David. This is Brian Moore.
Brian, are your ears toasting?
Well, I'm glad to see you followed up on it anyway.
That's tough stuff.
Yeah, I just wanted to, comment about how I really think that Jesus was a socialist, you know?
Okay.
Even though there's 19 centuries separating him from Marxism, I guess.
Yeah, go ahead.
He spoke about wealth and poverty, and you know, he always said, give to the poor and don't lay up treasures for yourself on earth. And he even had some radical sayings like, you know, go sell what you have and give to the poor. And when he spoke to the crowds, you know, he multiplied the loaves and fishes, sort of recognizing that some people may have food, but other people don't have food. And he wanted to emphasize the importance of helping the community and de-emphasizing the greed aspect.
Well, Brian, I want to point something out to you. The challenge with this is, when he fed the 5,000, he made fishes out of nothing. They came back the next time. He actually rebuked the next crowd because he said, "You're coming to me because I'm going to feed you." And he says, "I'm more than that to you." So it wasn't that some people say, "Oh, he made everybody there share." No, he didn't. He had two fishes and five loaves, and he took them and he multiplied it by himself, just like as he said, "Go get this fish out of the sea and pay the tax for you and me," he told Peter. Is he had that supernatural ability to make that stuff happen. He didn't force everybody to share the wealth. You see what I mean? There's a difference there where if you have a police state forcing everybody to love their neighbor as yourself, what happens? That is truly anti-Christ.
Well, yes, but I really think his message was direct, and we are to share the wealth. I mean, he really was very clear about that, and embarrassed people that, you know, hoarded goods and material wealth.
And what mechanism did he use to police it?
Well, you know, he urged governments to redistribute the goods, okay? He urged governments to be fair and to be just.
Well, I don't see that anywhere in the scripture. I mean, really, what mechanism did he use to police love your neighbor as yourself? Give and it'll be given unto you. The mechanism that he used is the final judgment and a divine intervention. Give and it'll be given unto you. He didn't emphasize, teach, utilize. And by the way, he did finally say before he left, all authority has been given under me. He said, you know, the prophecy was that the government would be upon his shoulders. He is the ultimate authority. And if you go to Daniel chapter 2, And it talks about this vision of when, you know, this statue that was finally crumbled by this stone, all the kingdoms and governments of the earth ultimately will turn to dust. And so he is the ultimate government authority. He never said, go impose by the power of the sword, by police state, these ideals. You know, don't use loving your neighbor as yourself as an excuse to take earthly power. Nowhere did he teach that.
Yes, but, you know, you seem to imply that charity is just sort of a private matter.
Oh, it is. Matthew chapter 6. Read the first four verses, as I can remember. Matthew chapter 6. He said specifically, expressly, don't let your right hand let your left hand know what you're doing.
Yeah, but the Bible also calls upon rulers to create a just society.
No, to do justice.
We are rulers of ourselves, okay? We have the power to make the rules. And the actions of nations are really extensions of us. So if we actively participate, then we share and take a responsibility. If we don't participate and we're passive, then we're not meeting our responsibility as human beings.
Okay, hey, Brian, we got to go. We're just at the end of our show. Thank you for calling, by the way. Folks, this was a great dialogue between Brian and myself, Brian Moore. And you can check out Vote Brian Moore, B-R-I-N Moore, M-O-O-R-E.com. Also, check out our faithfreedoms.org. And we're going to be back. And I think, Brian, stick around while we talk as I go. We'll be back.